Behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now I'll stop right there. This prophet prophesied a man coming named Josiah. And if you look at 2 Kings chapter 22, 23, you'll see that he came. Now, don't turn there because I just want to talk. You can read it yourself. But he came there and he took down the high places. He went against all that idolatry, all that sorcery, all that stuff that had crept into Israel. He went against it, tore it down, put the priest on the altar and got them and burned them up, whatever have you. He dismantled all that stuff that had come in that was wicked. But he was prophesied. And he came because his timing was prophesied and planned by God that he would come into the earth at that time to tear down that stuff. The Bible says in the fullness of time, Christ came. His coming was timed. My point to you is your coming has been timed.
Amen. Amen.
It has been timed. You have been raised up for such a time as this.
Amen.
It wasn't your doing. You were born right on time. Amen. You're here listening to this lecture right on time. You're being launched into your business right on time.
Amen.
Sometimes we think the timing is off, but the timing with God is kind of interesting. It's almost in the worst of times, we have our time.
Amen.
See? But he's raising you up with a business that won't be affected by the circumstances of the time.
Amen.
So Joseph had been raised up for that time. All right? So, I just want to show you that. Let's go to one more place, Jeremiah chapter 1. And if you will, if you would read, put down this for me, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 in the Amplified. Just read it, and you'll see that God has planned your life before you got here.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2 and verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's turn there. Now, Dave and all of the instructors are teaching you on debits and credits and so forth. So I'm giving you the platform by all what all that is being operated. This is the principle by which all that operates. Everything else operates on that. And it's knowledge that God wants you to have, and I'll show you that Daniel got knowledge. Daniel, true enough, was used to give insight as to what to do in situations and so forth. But you'll see the Bible says Daniel studied and got knowledge. He studied books. So you come in here and study and get this information, but you're going to also have the wisdom of God, the anointing of God, that's going to come on top of that.
That's right.
And
Amen.
Work with it. You got what I'm saying? All right, look what it says here in verse 4. Jeremiah 1, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now this is, I'm talking to you now. He's talking to you. He's just talking through me to you.
Amen.
Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. Now that sanctified is the same thing he did with a man named Samson. Remember, Samson was born with a Nazarite vow. Notice what he did, sanctifying before he came out of the womb. Why? Because Samson was going to use to pull down that stronghold of the Philistines. That you got something to do in the world. But before you came out, well, I don't know who my mama was. It doesn't make any difference. You couldn't come in here without a mama. Or somebody. Can you? I don't know what. Well, that's... All right, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. In other words, he gave you the calling. Turn to Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11. Let me know when you get to Romans chapter 11 by saying amen. Okay, could you do that? All right. Romans chapter 11, look what it says. Verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean, without repentance? Somebody. That doesn't make any difference. You still got it. God gave you the gift, and He won't take it back. Entrepreneurship is a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift. All right? Tell you what we do. Can we do this? Just take a real quick break, because I got about 35 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to sit in here? You want to take a break? Take a break? Okay.
Yeah.
Take a real quick break and be right back. Okay. I'll keep talking while you're gone. Nah, just kidding. Now let's shift just a little bit. Let's go back to Isaiah 48 and verse 17. That's really our foundational scripture for the Joseph School of Business. And I want you to catch something here. Let's see what it says. He says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, underline word profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. So He's going to teach you to profit, and He's going to show you how to do it. Now, I don't know whether you've ever worked with God before. But the first thing you'll find is that God does things in an unusual manner sometimes. That it's not always the way we think it's going to work out. But the one thing I discover about God is He's a supernatural God.
Amen.
That He doesn't work naturally. And the kingdom of God itself has to do with the supernatural. It's not natural. That when you're dealing with the natural world, you're dealing with a cursed-based system. And the only way that you can make things happen is run faster. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you're going from New York to California and you've got a covered wagon, the only way you can get there quicker is to run the horses faster. But if you change the platform and step on board a 747, then you could get there in 4 or 5 hours,
Amen.
As opposed to 4 or 5 months. So you can either operate in a cursed system and run faster, or else you can go to another system. Jethro told Moses. He said, now, Moses, I notice that you're actually counseling everybody that comes. And if you keep doing that, I got some news for you. You're not going to last long.
Amen.
You're going to destroy yourself. You're going to die early because you're trying to do this. So now choose some men in your own, among the tribes, people of truth, people with no covetousness, so forth and so on. So He gave him those things right in Exodus. So Moses did that. And now he can be able to do more of what he's purposed to do and delegate the rest. Okay? And God never intended for you to do all of it, because He might grace you to do it for a time you're getting started. But at some point, you'll feel the grace lift. I am not any longer, and this certainly is not meant to be, this statement is not meant to be any thing against anyone, okay? But I am not graced anymore to sit in coach by the bathroom in the back of the airplane. I'm not graced with that. I think I even start itching when I get back that far. Now, what I'm telling you is he'll give you a grace to do something, and you got to study grace because that's what it's all about. He'll give you a grace to do something at one time, and then that grace will lift, and you won't have that grace anymore. And now you've lost your grace, it's frustrating you, so forth and so on, because you don't have that grace anymore. And perhaps that task could be given to somebody else.
That's right.
You got what I'm saying?
Amen.
And one of the favorite teachings that I have is a teaching on organization, which comes out of John chapter 6, when Jesus fed the multitude. And the way he had to do that and be able to feed them by sundown, because the day was drawing to a close, and the disciples wanted to send them away. Jesus said, don't send them away, feed them. And right there, they were up in an isolated place, and they said, hey, wait a minute, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, that's the key there, 200 penny worth of bread. 200 penny worth of bread is 8 months' wages. That means you got to go back to work to get some more money to feed these people. But Jesus is going to show them another system.
Amen.
And my point to you is when he says, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, I haven't seen any place that God teaches the natural. He continues to teach the supernatural.
Amen.
He only teaches the natural for you to get a platform to operate on the supernatural. I'm just watching. I'm watching Jesus as he taught these disciples. He could have very easily taught them a very common way to do this, but he didn't. He was constantly changing water into wine, and, you know, where somebody had gone to the hospital, he said, now you don't need to go anymore. You will get healed right here. Or whatever have you. It doesn't make any difference. Now, my point to you is that there's a place that you have to learn the natural. That's what it talked about in Daniel, that he was a man of books. He actually read. He did that. But that is to give you ideas for the supernatural.
Amen.
So I get a subscription of Forbes magazine, but boy, I get in that thing and I get more ideas. I said, look at me. The Holy Spirit just started talking to me when I get in that book.
Amen. That's right.
See? So he's teaching me out of a natural platform. He's teaching me some of the supernatural. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Amen.
All right. So I'm the Lord thy God that teacheth thee to profit. My point to you is that what Dave can give you in here, he's giving you as a platform, but now you get out there, now you're trying to figure out a way to do this. So now God needs to talk to you. All right? There's a man in this book, his name is R.G. Letourneau. And let's see where he is here. Has anybody ever heard of him before?
Nope.
Okay. R.G. Letourneau, and he was, at first, he had gone in the Navy and come out of the Navy, and he was now going to work as a mechanic. And he started working with a person, but they had some strife or something, and he got out of the deal, but he still owed $5,000. He went to the banker and asked the banker could he loan him some money to pay off his share of the debt or something like that. And the banker said to him, he says, now, you know, what kind of collateral am I going to have? And he lifted up both his hands. He said, these are your collaterals right here. And so anyway, that's the kind of guy he was. But anyway, he started his own business, got a break. And he was wondering whether or not he should be a missionary or he said, Was God calling him to be a missionary or a preacher? Okay. Still in doubt, the next morning, he paid a visit to his pastor. And after another session of prayer, Pastor Duvall told him, God needs businessmen, businesswomen, as well as preachers and missionaries. Letourneau would later write of the experience he had, those were the words that have guided my life ever since. I have discovered that many men have the same mistaken idea I had of what it means to serve the Lord. Amen. And it's amazing how many people go in ministry thinking that that's the way they have to serve the Lord. Right. No. Remember, once you're being called to business, work becomes worship.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? And he said, see, you have a gifting. Think about it. Your gifting is in you. Now what are you doing? You're offering your gift back up to the Lord. And it becomes your worship. Okay? All right? He said, I didn't realize that a layman could serve the Lord as well as a preacher. And thank God for R.G. Letourneau. I know during the great, he said Letourneau went into business, owned his own. He eventually built his own factory and was a pioneer of time-saving techniques in construction and business. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, wisdom. Letourneau weathered the Great Depression, credit crunches, challenges to his no Sunday work rule. What other company do you know has a no Sunday work rule?
Chick-fil-A
and Hobby Lobby. Exactly right. Let me ask you, are they making money?
Yep. Yes. Billions.
They're continuing to increase. See? So sometimes less is better. And when you observe God's command to rest, it's amazing what happened here. And now I'm not saying that people could be in the ambulance business and, you know, you got to go when they get sick. But my point to you is that some people observe this in their businesses and they seem to be doing just fine.
Amen.
I know Hobby Lobby is. Hobby Lobby paid off that debt of ORU. Anybody remember what that debt was? ORU? $45 million? Oh, it was huge. Paid it off. You know, that's all I'm saying. Here's no work on Sunday rule. And then it says he became a serious supporter of foreign mission work and for many years lived on 10% of his income. Well, how big you think that 10% was? It was huge, giving the other 90% to various Christian endeavors.
Amen.
He also established a Christian liberal arts and technical school in Longview, Texas. He crossed the country in his private plane, giving lectures to various Christian organizations and business groups right up until the time of his death in 1969. One of the most often repeated statements he made during those lectures was, if you're not serving the Lord, it proves you don't love the Lord.
Amen.
And if you don't love him, it proves that you don't know him.
That's right.
Because to know him is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. That's his favorite. Rockefeller preached from Proverbs, and he preached from Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, seeth thou a man diligent in business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean or insignificant men. He'll stand before kings. He preached it all. He taught it all the time when he taught Sunday school at the Baptist church that he belonged to. I'm just letting you know that there are people who are legends that have done this. And a lot of times the word hadn't gotten out. And because the word hadn't gotten out, God's people are kind of confused. Some in ministry shouldn't be in ministry. They get a ministry, they start a church, it grows to the huge number of 15 and doesn't grow any bigger. Why? There's no anointing for it. God is not going to bless what he didn't call you to. So my point to you is, now I understand, anytime you're doing things for God, you'll have some obstacles and so forth like that. So my point to you is that the power of God flows through the purpose of God. When the purpose is there, the power will flow. R.G. Letourneau was a guy that they consulted when apparently they were building ships. Now, he had big earth-moving equipment. Not only that, he generated electricity for a whole small town. I guess the town was out of electricity or something. He set up generators and so forth because he built big things like that. But they were having, during the war, they were short on boats. Some of the boats of the U.S. were being sunk. And they came to R.G. Letourneau to see could he build the boats and could he build them faster. And he started building them faster, but when he turned the boat right side up, the rivets would pop, 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 pop. And next thing you know, the boat would not be seaworthy. And so what happened is he went on a fast, fasted 3 days. He said the fourth day, God spoke to him and told him how to build a ship a day. And so that's what I want to talk about now. So this whole idea of wisdom, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll read here starting at verse 5. Now, I'm not going to start at verse 5, I'm going to start at verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Remember, Paul operated by grace. Now, grace is God's ability. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable has to do with incalculable. You can't calculate it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus, the Anointed One. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying that in the last days, the wisdom of God is going to pour through the church. And I believe it's going to happen because we're coming up on problems that the natural wisdom of mankind cannot solve. Just like what's happening over there with that radioactivity in Japan. But we're going to have a way and come up with something that we know how to put something there that'll drain all the radioactivity out of the air and bring it back into a cylinder. Amen. I just said that myself. But my point to you is that this wisdom, here's a man named Booker T. Washington. Some of you probably know him. And he's also written about in this book. And he came from slavery. And he then went to Hampton and finished Hampton and got an education. And it was called to start a school in a place called Tuskegee, Alabama. And he came down and started that school in 1881. By 1905, Tuskegee turned out more self-made millionaires than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton universities combined.
Amen.
Like I say, a lot of this knowledge is hidden. The enemy doesn't want it to get out. He doesn't want you to see something. Now, they had prayer in the morning, they had chapel in the morning and prayer at night. just 6 days a week or something like that. But he was taking people from slavery and teaching them. And I remember I've got books about him. Now, I heard he's the third most prolific writer in the Library of Congress. I've got volumes of books that are copies of things that he's written that are in the Library of Congress. But the world would want to pit him against W.E.B. Du Bois, if you know anything about history, and so forth. But there were just two ways that they had of getting to an end. And Du Bois came, as you know, he wasn't ever in slavery. He went to Harvard University, his first PhD, black that finished Harvard, and so forth. Booker T. Washington, just the opposite, went, but he had a wisdom that God gave him. And he attracted people like George Washington Carver and so forth and so on like that. Tuskegee Airmen came there. All that was because of his influence. By 1915. Now understand, he started the school in 1881. By 1915, Booker T. Washington had built 107 buildings, had over 2,000 acres, 1,500 students, and 200 teachers and professors. Now, there's a lot of other things he did, but my point to you, I'm just reading a couple of people here in history that normally you don't get the legends that have come that Christ has an influence. I was reading a thick book that Brother Crosby had about Rockefeller and how they, at the table, they would have to listen to a sermon almost before they would eat, he said, when he was a kid. And his mother and what she did to pray over him, all that, and how he kept his tithe. He kept a book, a little book, and it's wherever they have a museum or something, I'm sure it's in there. But he kept every dime that he spent, every tithe that he's ever paid, and so forth. And you know he gave, what, $600 million or something to the University of Chicago or something like that. But my point to you is he started out tithing 25 cents, but he kept track of every time. Everything was kept. So organization is key to success of business. And it's whether you have your personal life or whether it's in your business or whatever have you, organization is very key. And God has ways of doing things that the world has not thought of. And so as you are coming into business now, understand that you have available to you the wisdom of God. But to get it, you have to make a demand for it. You have to press for it. And in Daniel chapter 2, I won't go there, I'm running short of time. In verses 14 through 23, it's when the king had a problem that he had a dream that he couldn't interpret. The wise men of Babylon tried to interpret it, but they couldn't. And Daniel said, I'll take it. And he sought the Lord, and that night the Lord revealed it to him, I guess in a dream. So Daniel told him, and of course, this helped to distinguish Daniel. So as we look at this, the Joseph anointing is an anointing for business and economics and political leadership strategies. The Joseph anointing is an anointing for business and economic, political, and leadership strategies. Now, wisdom in the last days is going to differentiate the church from the natural world. And that's what you saw and what we read over in Ephesians. So as you go through here, there's a scripture that I want you to see. If you look at it, it's found over in Hebrews chapter 40. Hebrews chapter 40. All right, in Hebrews chapter 40, chapter 11, verse 40. God having provided some better things for us, just underline that. Okay? So whatever he gave anybody in the Bible, whether it's Abraham, whether it was David, whether it's Elijah, whoever it was, what he has for you is going to be an improvement over what he had for them.
That's right.
Amen. Got it? So this is your time. Job was the greatest man in the East. That's what it said. Solomon was the wisest man. Well, let me show you a scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12. Now, the reason why I'm going through these scriptures is just to give you a scriptural foundation for what you're doing. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the what? Wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a what? Greater than Solomon is here. That's you. Talking about a person, the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're one. Okay? So here's what I see you doing. One, for you to get the most out of what God has called you to, you have to renew your mind. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Renew your mind. Because you can come into entrepreneurship and treat it just like you treated it in your corporation as a bureaucrat. So you just slid over. Nothing changed. So you don't get the most out of it. Okay? And remember, the anointing or blessing is on you. Okay? And guess what? It's going to give you better results than Abraham got. Better results than Job got. But it's on you right now. Next, God's going to use you to create wealth. Create wealth. Now, that's my topic of kings and priests. Say kings and priests.
Kings and
you can find that in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I'm not going to turn there. But God has made us kings and priests. So you can have a king and priest in your own home, who you could be. You could be the one who goes out to work, and you can be the one who does a prayer. But once you get on a corporate basis, you have kings and priests. So here you are the kings, and pretty soon we're going to have a lecture hall for the kings, and then in here would be the priest. These would be the ministers. So those two are going to work together. Why? For the advancing of the king. Okay? What does a priest do? A priest can see things in terms of the Lord and what he's doing. He speaks to the priest because the Bible says God will do nothing in this earth, except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. So the priests have a job to hear the timing and the direction of the move of God. Then they preach it to the kings. Then the kings go out and take advantage of it. And when they go out and take advantage of it, they get the spoil. What do they do with the spoil? Bring it first tithe back in. What does it do? Helps advance the kingdom. Because the priest is responsible for the homeless and the widow and so forth and so on. Got it? So when kings don't know what they're called to do or don't have a relationship with the priest, then they start their own. And they weren't called to that. Instead of working, they kind of try to do other things and so forth and so on and start this and that and so forth and so on. And that's fine. But like I said, the power flows when you know your purpose. And when you don't, you start struggling. Okay? So, if you look at David, David had Nathan. Nathan came to the door. Nathan said, David, do you remember? I want to tell you a story about a man who had a visitor to come in town. He was a king. And the visitor came in town. Instead of him taking one of the lambs or sheep out of the flock of the king and preparing that for a meal, he went down and got a lamb from a man who was very poor, his last lamb, a sheep, a goat, and he took him and butchered him and so forth. What would you do with that man, David? He said, I'd kill him. Bring him here. He said, David, the man is you. So know what the prophet does. The prophet helps to keep the kings on course. Okay? Now, what the kings have to, the prophets have to remember is, or the priests, have to remember that, wait a minute, what we're doing here is that the kings are anointed. They're just anointed in an area you're not anointed in. So they're anointed to go out and get the wealth. The kings were anointed to go out and get the spoil. They were anointed to go out and fight the battle. But notice what David did. Let's go to it. 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. All right, look what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and look at verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Look at verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, meaning that in the battles that I fought, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. Folks, you don't need to add it up. I've done it. $100 billion I'm giving you to build the house of God. Remember, our building a house of God, the Bible says, whose house we are. We are. So we've got to round up all the loss and all of that with all this money that he's going to give us to do that. Amen. Got it? So when we round them up, that's what happens to us. We round them up. Now we got a benevolence department because some of those that we round up just got put out of their apartment and just and so forth. We don't have a place to save pastor and so forth. You know, my point to you is that now we need the money so that we can care for who we rounded up till they can get back on their feet. But if the money, if there's no connection between the king and the priest, then much of the provision of God go to the wrong place. What happens? God's work gets delayed. What happens? Jesus is waiting to come back. All of it connects up together. So the point of you being one who goes out, and creates wealth, gets provision, is very important. You're anointed to do that just like he's anointed to preach. The pastor is not anointed to fundraise. There's no anointing in this book for that. The anointing is to preach. So he should say, hey, we're going to build a youth center, because that's one of the things we need to build. The youth center down here in the building, and we the construction is going to cost us, I don't know, $300,000 for all the construction, all the things to put in, whatever have you. And we'd like to have some of our kings to help us support that and get it done. Somebody raise your hand. Pastor, I got $50,000. I got to say, that's one morning, 2 minutes, done. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Not have a fundraising program to go on for months.
That's right.
Makes everybody weary. Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
That's right.
So you got to understand God's way of doing things. So this whole new, the Old Testament model of kings and priests is coming back in the end days, in the end time. And this is now. Finance, remember, that teaching on finance is an end time teaching. All right, so now let's see if I have something else for you here. So basically, God's going to use you to, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8:18, to have power to get what?
Wealth.
Okay. What is that power? What is it? You know what it is? What is it? The anointing. Right. All right, let's look at the anointing. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. We're headed for a close now. Headed for a close. Isaiah chapter 11. Dr. Miles Monroe said something. He said, when a purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. When the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And see, the enemy knows it takes money to do this. So his job is to cut the money off. Okay? To make people, when they start out and they're struggling, they come to church. But when they start making $3, 4, 5 million a year, all of a sudden they're too busy to come to church. It doesn't mean that much anymore. Why? Because somehow they've forgotten what they get the money for. Now, this connects all the way back to what I came in here and said when I first came in now. You got to work for others' benefit. That's what it's for. I never thought that I was going to have a mall and all that when I came here. The only thing I wanted to do is please God.
Amen.
That's all I wanted to do. Please God. So look what it says here. It says in verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon them, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Now, my point to you is that one of the spirits that he's saying is a spirit of wisdom. Is wisdom. And that when you're talking about wisdom, that is what God uses to distinguish his people almost consistently. Why? He says, I'm going to turn to it anyway. He says over in Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 8, he says, verse 15, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. Okay? So if you want to be a leader for God, you need wisdom. Okay? You need wisdom. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell in with prudence, and I found out knowledge of witty inventions. We're going to have a wave of inventions coming from now till Jesus comes. So that's why we want to have more patent seminars and so forth and so on like that. All you got to do is the priests will tell you which way you're going. And then the kings, you know, man told me all I got to do to get rich is find out where everybody's going and get there first. So I'm just saying, just you know where people are going, so set up for it.
That's right.
All right. So now this wisdom is crucial among all the seven other spirits that he had, spirit of understanding, spirit of fear of the Lord, spirit of the Lord, spirit of knowledge, spirit of might, all those seven spirits, the spirit of wisdom is key. Okay. Now, in this, this is not referring to technological or scientific wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom that the Holy Ghost imparts. You can't get this just off of a blackboard or whiteboard, whatever you want to call it, in a university or college. Okay. Now let me show you how Jesus used this, because I want to show you this. Did you all see The Matrix?
Yep.
Okay. It's just a movie. You don't need to see it. It's just the first Matrix they ever came out with. Okay, it was anointed. The others, I don't know where they came from. But but if you look here and look at, let's look at, Let's go to John chapter 7. Okay. In John chapter 7, and I'm going to leave some room for Dave here. Look what it said in verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And watch this. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never what? Learned. All right? And another translation says, how does he know so much? He's never been to our schools. So how does he know this? How does a person know this? How does he know what he's saying here? Let me show you one more thing, because this is really good. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. All right, look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. This is after Jesus got done reading the scripture. Watch this. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Okay. Now, I'm about to show you what's about to happen to you. Because at one time, he seemed to be acting one way. And now, after this anointing comes on him, he's acting totally different. Now, wait a minute. Now, this, he fixed my bathroom door there 2 weeks ago. He fixed that door, you know. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying they're going to look at you and say, now, wait a minute. Now, I know she ain't that smart. Or something. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not pointing at anybody in here. I'm just saying they could say that about you, you know, cousins and relatives and so forth and so on. Why? You're going to exhibit something. The wisdom of God is the most important piece. And look what you're going to exhibit. Come on back to 1 Samuel chapter 10, please. And we'll be done. 1 Samuel chapter 10. You know, I was looking, somebody showed me, we had a person in our Joseph Business School class who was the relative of the man who started the Chicago Defender. And she showed me his Bible. He was a businessman. But that Bible was totally marked up, all the way through it, notes, highlights, so forth and so on. That's his Bible. He wasn't a preacher. He knew he had to know the Word of God to do what he did. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10. This is the same anointing now that's coming on you. Verse 1. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head, poured upon Saul's head. And he kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And then he said, when you are anointed like that, the first verse 2 says, the asses which you went to seek are now found. So restoration is going to come on your life with that anointing. Verse 3 says, and you shall go on forward, and from thence, that would be supernatural increase will come on your life. Next, verse 4, he said, and you'll salute, and they will salute thee and give thee 2 loaves of bread. That's favor that's going to come on your life. But this is the one I want to show you, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into what? A different person. You see what I'm saying? Because of the Spirit that's coming on you from the Joseph School, Joseph Center, you're being turned into a different person. Okay? Amen. Now, the enemy is after that anointing because he knows without that anointing, you're going to function like a natural person, just like Samson did. So you got to realize that the one thing he comes after is with the Antichrist spirit. And the Antichrist spirit might be a spirit of fear. Fear will cut it right off. Another one is unholy alliances. That'll cut it off for you. Another one is anger and hatred and bitterness and all that kind of stuff. That'll cut it off. Just look at Joseph's life. Just all you have to do is just love folk. Just love folk. And you'll find if you do that, God will guide you. Now, the last thing is integrity. Boy, this chair feels so good. I don't even feel like getting out of it.
Amen.
No, that's all right. All right, last thing is integrity. And boy, I didn't have to get out. Goodness. Is that integrity? Is integrity. And no matter what goes down, be honest. Now, that's easy for you to say while you're sitting up in here. But when the pressure gets on, you still got to be honest. Because that's when you have to rely on God. Remember, God is not just your source. He's your only source. If you keep that in mind, you won't have any problem with integrity. Now, notice what they came after Joseph with. Two things. One, morality. Try to get him to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. Second was money, integrity. Try to get him to do that. Okay. Got the food coming in here. All right. Well, I know I preached a long time now. So Psalm 15 and 4, let me just put it down. Keep your word even if it hurts. Got it? Psalm 15 and 4. You can read it, and you give your word and keep it, because God is making you like him now. Okay. All right? Now, here's the key. If integrity is divorced from God, it makes no sense. Okay? That's why godless people can lie to you in a minute. Godless people can lie to you in a minute and it not bother them. None. When I was doing the deal down here, trying to get this, where Ultra is right now, I was trying to get this space filled, and I was talking to one of the other major big box food stores, and the guy would come, we'd go to the lawyer's office, we'd negotiate, get a deal, shake on it, come back the next week to sign the documents. He'll say, it changed my mind. I said, wait a minute, we've got everything lined up here. So, no, I want a gas station on the parking lot. Said, we're not putting a gas station on the parking lot. We shook on this. I mean, what about your word? Well, I changed my mind. See, it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Just want all they can get. They took me around a mountain negotiating for 3 years. 3 years. Until I said, I'm through with you. Get out of my face. I don't even want to see you. I don't want to talk about it. Nothing. And I figured out that was the devil delaying that. And I went to these folks here and got it done in 30 days.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the chief trick of the enemy is to burn up your time.
That's right.
Burn it up, because you can't handle time, you can't handle money. Burn it up so you will run out of it. Remember, if the devil cannot have time to work with, he cannot do his work. He needs time to do what he does. If you take him out of time and take him into faith, and faith goes above time, then he cannot handle you. You've just gained the advantage over him.
Amen.
Character and integrity are who you are when nobody's watching.
Amen.
If you're making a sandwich, do you put all the meat on there? Do you save some? You follow what I'm saying? I just thought about that. I was just looking at those sandwiches back there. Praise the Lord. But it's very important, right? So it's very important that you, if you got somebody's car and you're working on it as a maintenance person, making sure that you put the right parts in there and making sure you do all the work that needs to be done. I flew airplanes for a long time, so I have a commercial license, and I flew fighters, and I had to know that a good crew chief was working on my airplane, making sure that every screw was tightened down and so forth. I couldn't get into combat and something failed. I couldn't come back to land and the gear won't come down and whatever have you. Integrity and character. And sometimes they're missing today. And now we're finding out when people are under pressure. Under pressure for what? Under pressure to try to still fly airplanes with the gas prices going up in the airlines. And they're trying to shortcut some of the inspections that they should do because it might call for another part they have to buy. And that's more money out of the budget. So they're trying to shortcut it. Next thing you know, aircraft accident. Got it? So in your case, when nobody's looking, you still do the best job. Makes no difference. I'm going to teach some more on integrity and character. I think I'm going to teach some more on that. That's one of the biggest teachings that people from the broadcast who are in business, you really write about that. They really enjoy it and so forth. Why? It's right down their alley because that's the biggest challenge to them. You may say, well, what about being paid off and so forth? Well, you can go back in and look at Paul. Paul didn't take the bribe.
That's right.
Didn't take it. Why? Because God is your source. Once you see God is not only your source, but your only source, a lot of other decisions can be made easily. But when he's not that, when you're not committed to him, not committed to the kingdom, you start to wonder, well, should I? No, you don't have to wonder. He'll tell you, if you think you're coming out short, he's going to make up the difference.
Amen.
Give it to him. Why? Because he's Lord over it. He's a supplier. He's the one that's the reason why you're in business and got a heartbeat this morning when you woke up.
Amen.
He's the same one. And once you get prospering and once you start doing well, don't forget about it. Next thing, keep an outstanding attitude when you're at work and you'll stay fruitful.
Amen.
You'll keep an outstanding attitude, no matter how it looks. Keep your attitude right. And I know that's a challenge sometimes because the forces can come against you so strong sometimes. And I think my case, my attitude gets bad when I'm tired. Just tired. I haven't had enough sleep. And you got to get enough sleep too.
Right.
Got to do that because, again, that's called distractions. That's a whole teaching on that. But the enemy will try to use you to drink too much coffee or untrained children and so forth to try to distract you, keep you tired. And now you're quick and you're snapping and your attitude isn't right and employees take it the wrong way and next thing you know, you're not getting the performance that you should get and just one thing or another. So attitude's got a lot to do with your altitude.
Amen.
Okay? God bless you. Praise God. All right.
We just want to have you hear from a couple of students.
Surely.
As they finished up the school year, about what the experience has been for them. So as you're packing up here, we thought we'd...
Okay, yep.
How about Tanya? You'd like to say something? You just say it. They've been taught this year, Pastor, how to get the message across succinctly.
Concise.
Okay.
Yeah, when the pastor was here the last time and he was talking about, you know, when we were investing into different corporations, and he was saying about research, and it just so happened I did know about that, but my mind said, if God gave the man of God the word research, I'm not researching my business. So what I did was I went home and went on the internet and started researching, and I found sources that I had not found before.
Mm.
And so, you know, sometimes it may appear that we're not getting it, but we are.
Got it.
And I just wanted to say thank you.
Amen. You're very good. Okay.
This is... Brother Keelan, pastor, he comes from Madison, Wisconsin every Saturday.
Oh, wonderful.
And
great.
On time.
On time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. Hello, Pastor.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been really blessed coming down here every Saturday. And the biggest thing I've learned from JBS is just to how to approach the Holy Spirit every day in my business. I have a website that's mission is to proclaim justice to the communities through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And my testimony is that the Holy Spirit gave me a way to market online because I have a very limited budget, to the point now where we have over 13,000 followers on our Twitter account, over 9,000 followers on our YouTube, you know, and God's just really been giving us a great web presence, you know, although, you know, my budget's about $30 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the Holy Spirit's just been helping to guide me through, you know, even like the next step, talking about redesigning my websites and seeking like a godly partnership to help, you know, kick up to the next level and stuff. So I've just been real thankful, you know, for everything that you've established here, and right. It's worth the trip coming down
right.
here.
Now, what business ultimately are you wanting to get into?
What do you mean?
I mean, what do you want to do with what you've got here as terms of business? To continue what you're doing now, or what do you plan to do in terms of what kind of business are you going to have?
Well, the website business that we have is we're in two sort of business sectors, I suppose, is retail. So, you know, we sell like yeah. Christian products and stuff like that, ebooks, t-shirts. But the other aspect of it is consulting, mm-hmm. you know, so like we'll work with missionaries or, mm-hmm. you know, church ministries or, mm-hmm. you know, mercy groups. Mm-hmm. And help them to, because you see my background is in community organizing, like mm-hmm. I was in the Peace Corps, mm-hmm. you know, I've been really involved in doing community development work mm-hmm. for most of my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just help them with the how-to once a church or a ministry decides that they want to take community outreach seriously for their organization.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
You mentioned that he's been in Peace Corps and Harvard Kennedy School, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing, too, that, you know, like I've been fortunate to be a part of some, you know, elite worldly institutions mm-hmm. in my past, you know, like I was a part of the Harvard summer program at mm-hmm. the Kennedy School of Government.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I was telling Dean Dave is that the Joseph Business School is far superior than mm-hmm. any sort of world education I've been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the track record sort of shows itself. I mean, the fact there's been so many millionaires that's come through here, you know, yeah. it's kind of like what you're talking about with Booker T. Washington at Tuskegee mm-hmm. Institute. Mm-hmm. That's the main draw for me when I came to the Joseph Business School is, you know, I follow your teachings and stuff online a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to be a part of a God-based business program yeah. where yeah. I could get under good anointing and, mm-hmm. you know, have something where it's undeniably God that's doing it, not, you know, credit going to like a man or, you know, Harvard's whatever legacy mm-hmm. or some sort of, mm-hmm. you know, new age business
God,
technique.
God did it.
Right.
You know, I hear while you were talking that somehow God wants to use you in government. And I'm not saying, I don't know whether it's, you know, you doing something from the direct political involvement side, but I think it's more or less on the support side in to do that. I'm not sure what it is, but it's something a little bit in greater than what you've got, I think, right now going, or might have conceptualized. So make sure you seek the Lord for that, because I think it's really something. Yeah.
Thanks, Pastor. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more passages. Mm-hmm. Keon.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
One real quick testimony. When I first started listening to your teachings, I didn't understand anything that you were teaching. I would just listen to it and just take my notes. And I was walking through my house, and I said, okay, it was a thought that I needed to go to a payday loan store because my finances were looking real bad at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you saying, those of us that attend Living Word, we know how he preaches.
Mm-hmm.
And you were walking down the stairs and you said, and no, you're not going to a payday loan store. You're going to work it and you're going to work it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let you know, I have not had to go to a payday loan store yet.
Mm. And you won't have to.
And I knew at that time that this was the place that I was supposed to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. But just to share how Joseph Business School has impacted my life positively is the ability to create, because I've come from a welfare background. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I had the ability to create anything. Mm-hmm. So when God gave me the idea to start the business, I knew it was from Him, because I didn't know I could do it. Mm-hmm. But with the financial statements, we had to come up with how we would create $1 million. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that. And I said, okay, Lord, if you gave this idea to me, then you'll tell me how to get the $1 million. And the Holy Spirit said to me, okay, you're starting out with one vehicle. What about two? What about three? And I stopped there. And I only came up with $375,000. And I said, okay, Lord, no, this isn't it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me again and said, what about eight? What about 10? What about as many as you can get? And I knew that that was from Him, because I could not do that on my own. So this has really stretched my thinking, and I pushed myself that if the Lord lives in me and the kingdom, if the kingdom of God is in me, then I can do and create and come up with anything. So I just want to say thank you.
Amen. Now, you know, that's key to realize that the word potential means hidden abilities. And that every one of us has more inside. See, you're a whole lot bigger inside than you are on the outside. And you can do a whole lot more than you think you can do. The thing is, do you think you can do it? Because as a man thinketh, see, so is he. So he won't go around your mind. And God will, you got to believe that God can do it through you. And then go for it. But it's good that you enlarge your thinking. You know, I was, we were in Africa preaching, and the guy who went with me, or at the same time I did, we were preaching at Bishop David Oyedepo's church. There was about 55,000 people there. No, at that time they were having a conference, so it was about 400,000 people. And I heard him say, God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Now, some people may have just heard that, but I really heard it. So then you bring it back and you start meditating. Now, where did it come from? The man of God said. So God said it. He said, no, you're not trying to get rich. You are rich. And see, when you meditate it, all of a sudden it transforms your thinking. And that's what you're after, see. All of a sudden, you got a breakthrough. Well, why not three? Well, wait a minute. Why not five? See, that's called breakthrough thinking. And sometimes you have to get a word and meditate that word. And that word, the Bible says, in thy light will you see light. That it'll kin. Until light comes, we all struggle. And so light's got to come. And so as I've been meditating that, I've been seeing some things. And I'm telling you, it's getting pleasurable, what I'm seeing now. Because I've just, you know, the enemy tried to, instead of you looking at your vision, he'll try to get you to look at your provision. But you can't look at provision first, because that'll stop you from looking at your vision. So you got to look at your vision, keep having that vision, because provision comes with it. And so I just saying there, just, he's pushing you. He's letting you know, wait a minute, I can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, and to let him in on it. Praise God.
Amen.
Any more?
Got one more?
Yeah.
We got time for one more?
Yep.
There are other ones as well, but I know we're short on time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Winston.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My name is Darmiel Rush, and when I initially came to Joseph Business School, I was actually afraid.
Okay.
I was very afraid because I'm older, mm-hmm. and I hadn't been to school in a long time, and I mm-hmm. had the desire to do it mm-hmm. for many, many years.
Gloria Copeland's got a book down there called Living Long and Strong. You
yes,
need to get it.
Yes. And coming here has mm-hmm. just transformed my whole being. Mm-hmm. I've increased my faith. Mm. I didn't have a job when I signed up. Mm. I still don't have a job. Mm-hmm. But God has blessed me abundantly mm-hmm. to be able to pay my tuition. Mm-hmm. a month before it was due, or 3 weeks before it was due. And it has shown me that I had a lot of the knowledge in me already. I had the tenacity. I had the, I had fear that I no longer have. So I'm grateful to Joseph Business School,
faith
the
that
teacher.
You no longer had. You used to have fear, and you now you have faith. Okay.
Yes. Yes. I know now that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I am no longer afraid to do anything. I step out on faith and I say, God, this is your doing. Your anointing is on me. I realize that now. I recognize it. I stand firm in my conviction. I love him. I love what he's doing in my life and who I am. And it's really because of the teachings here at Joseph Business School. From A to Z, there's nothing been untouched.
Well, that's a testimony. I mean, not that the others weren't a testimony, but just to see somebody get a whole change from fear to faith.
Amen.
Yes.
It's worth coming to the school.
My oldest son just turned 35 a couple of days ago, and he says, Mom, I really don't know who you are anymore.
There you go. There you go.
I said, because I've been reborn.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That is wonderful. Well, I just want to say, just in terms of the course, it is designed to give you, to bring out of you what's already in you. And God is going to use you for great things for these next few years. And just be willing to hear him and to do what he says.
Yes.
And again, make sure you set time for devotion. Kids, don't ever get too busy for that, because that is your foundation of what's going to keep you successful. No matter
and
what you do.
If I may add, through all of my adversity, God has birthed through me a ministry, Mothers of Hope. And from that ministry, I bring ladies from shelters and just women that have been downtrodden because I know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I host an event annually, and it is actually next Saturday where they get a mini makeover.
Oh.
And just something to give them a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11 is the scripture for the ministry.
That helps their esteem.
And this is my fourth year.
Wonderful.
So I praise and thank God daily.
Well, what kind of business are you planning to start?
Open a party store with event planning and custom printing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now you got to make it big enough.
Pardon me?
Got to be big now.
It has to be big.
Yeah,
it has
be
to
big.
Be big because I want everybody to be able to celebrate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to say congratulations to everybody.
Amen.
When are they graduating?
June.
In June.
June 5th.
Okay, well, we're almost in May here.
Yep.
You got one more month to go.
Business plan due next week.
Huh?
Business plan due next week.
The business plan due next week. I know it's hard, but it's fair. Listen, there are a lot of he just gave you the principles here. Now you have to go and use them yourself.
Yes.
But think big. Yes. Don't think small. If you think small, then that's what you're going to get. But if you think big, you're including God in it.
Yes.
You can let him give you.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.